We've been talking about birthing from the finish line. We've been using examples of that pole being point A, that pole being point B, and then you got point C, D, E, F, G, elemental P, X, Y, Z, all the way down the line. And when God begins, he speaks the end from the beginning. He inhabits eternity. He's the Alpha and the Omega, author and finisher. When he speaks from a position of your future. Now, it doesn't take 40 years if you know what you're doing. It don't even take 40 months if you know what you're doing. The determination of how you get to point A and B is not a linear time frame. It's how quickly you can get there by faith. Amen? How you can get there, how you get there by faith. Now I'm going to go back into a testimony. Before I went into ministry, I took an 11-month stand against the spirit of poverty in my life. And it wasn't more than a spirit. It was a strong man. He must have known what we were called to because this guy tracked me down everywhere. It just wreaked havoc, whatever I did. I couldn't break out of anything. I tried and tried and tried. Everywhere I went, it was horrible. I went through a very devastating time in my life back then, and I remember I had a lot of bills because of it. And I counted them by the inches that were in my hand. And when they would call me back then, I'd say, look, if you give me any more problems, I'll shuffle you to the bottom of the deck. And so when I was standing there, something just clicked in me. I don't know what it was. I was living in Memphis. Living in Tulsa, living in Houston, going to Austin, going to Florida. I was running, thinking that if I could get to the next city, God would be there. But the same strong man was there. You cannot run from a strong man. You can go to a church because you think the grass is greener and the strong man will be at that next place. You just better hope they teach you how to deal with him. I didn't even have $5. Say $5. I went to go get these little note cards that had a spiral. I started writing the scripture. I wrote all the scriptures in confession. I fill up those note cards and I just started flipping them every day and confessing and flipping, confessing and flipping, confessing and flipping. Did anything change? Absolutely not. Nothing changed. 6, 7, 8 months. I remember a defining moment during that time was a friend of mine. Everything went well for him. Don't you just love that? When nothing goes well for you and everything goes well for your friend. I mean, he didn't struggle the way I struggled. This is a fact. He didn't have the same devil assigned to him that I had assigned to me. I had something that was supernaturally assigned to me. And I whined and cried and kicked and screamed and threw fits of self-pity every day. And why me, God? And how come they get it so easy and I don't? He never answered that stuff. I found out that I had to defeat that guy. He was part of my promotion. And if I didn't defeat him, I was going to live under him the rest of my life. Because I didn't know that till after I defeated him, but God used him to promote me. That strong man, God utilized him to promote me. Anybody want a promotion? Do you want to get promoted God's way? Then you better deal with a strong man. So back then, I didn't know nothing about nothing. I knew how to pray in tongues. I had revelation knowledge, but I was at point A, dealing with point A circumstance and a whole lot of it. For 11 straight months, all I did was speak those scriptures in a circle over and over again, 3 to 4 hours a day. I didn't understand how to escape the enemy's assignments. I didn't know how to get out of the circumstance like I do now. I didn't know how to move to the finish line. I just sat there and exercised faith right here, and it took me 11 months, and it was very hard. And I'll tell you, most people just wouldn't do it. I remember a defining moment. It was raining outside. It was the day before Christmas. As usual, I had no Christmas money. And, you know, I had to go see my family. And I said, dude, let me rake your yard. Of course, he had 7 big oak trees in his yard, you know. And I raked his yard. 55 bags of leaves later. I had soot covered in black, everything. We made an agreement that he's going to pay me $50. He was probably just laughing. After he saw that, he goes, dude, I'll increase it to $75. I said, thank you. But I remember that day, it was a defining moment. I took that scripture note before, right in the rain, I threw it down and I just stood on it. I said, I will never stop standing on this until this is going to change. And it did. God completely broke in the 11th month. He came and leavened that whole operation. And when he leavened it, I was at Dusty Kim's church on a Wednesday night and with an evangelist friend of mine, and we left and we went in that grocery store parking lot. Make a long story short, the glory of God just hit that truck. We were in intercession for an hour and a half. Heaven reported something had changed. And that next week, anointing came on me for the first time. That strong man was completely broken. And anointing came upon me in the same job. He quadrupled my income in 1 week with the same job. Quadrupled. Times four. When that anointing hit me, it shifted his business. He made $10 million extra that year. Because that anointing not only got on me, it got on all the other salesmen. And everything went straight up. It was glorious. And that river, when it was cranked up, lasted for about 3.5 years until the enemy sidetracked. But it rolled me right into full-time ministry. And that inheritance rolled right in there with me. It's glorious. Then I lost it. Well, how did you lose it? It doesn't matter. I just lost it. When you lose something like that, you don't know you lost it. The enemy shifts you into something else, see. But you think what he's shifting you in is God, but he's shifting you out of faith. But that was a good thing, though, in the long run, because God had something better in mind. And what he had better in mind is a new way, a new operation of faith. No longer point A faith. But he was going to teach us how to truly move mountains in this earth. Not only just financial mountains, but mountains that are governing the lost. Mountains that are controlling the present operation of creative miracles. Mountains of unbelief and doubt. It's hidden, subtle, and you can't see it. Those kind of mountains. We're going to shift and move. But to do that, God was going to have to teach us another way. And he began to teach us and introduce us to the right hand of God. He began to teach us how to enter into the holiest of all by the new and the living way. He taught us how to move into the kingdom, move through the living doorway, move into the throne of grace. He taught us how to move into the right hand of God and sit with the Lord in heavenly places without getting crazy or goofy or weird. You can say amen. Because he taught us how to move upon a promise and in a promise and inhabit a promise. And he taught us how to move by compass. The compass that his word provided, which are series on the right hand of God now, all on the website. He spent a whole lot of time on this. And then he began introducing us back into faith again. This series, this leaven series, turned from leaven to kingdom faith. It's been glorious. Then all of a sudden, he started talking to us about seeing into the promise. You've got to get on this train because it's rolling! Faith comes alive! And you can come alive because you can get on a corporate train. He began to teach us, say, listen, I stand as the Alpha and Omega. Where I am, there shall you be also. My words are spirit in their life to those who find them. What does that mean? Open the Bible until spirit gets departed to me. That's one way, but it also, his words are spirit. They live in a dimension of spirit. And they're full of life. And they're full of glory. And we always think, I'm going to read the word, I'm going to get that. What about his word of promise to you? What about the day he came with that promise and exploded that life on the inside of you? And exploded the Spirit of God and exploded the imagery of who you are. And put you on a mountain, gave you an encounter, and showed you something. 3 months later, you don't even know what he said. But that word is still alive today as it was the day it was imparted to you. And he taught us. See, if you really want to know mountain moving faith, move in to position with God, enter into the holiest of all, and then move out of point A and go to the place of that promise by faith and begin to inhabit the promise by seeing the promise, experiencing the promise. And then I use the word awareness. Practicing of awareness, say awareness, seeing through awareness. A lot of people say, I don't know how to see. Of course you know how to see. You just don't know you know how to see. I'll prove it to you. Take a really good look around this room. Now I want you to close your eyes. You're going to the land of faith. Now close your eyes. Now I want you to see by awareness. Are you aware there's walls around you? Are you aware there's a ceiling above you? Are you aware that you're inside a room and not outside of a room? Do you see the awareness? Without looking at your shoes, are you aware that you're wearing shoes? Without looking at your dress or shirt, are you aware you're wearing clothes? Do you see that? You were just seeing through awareness. If you want to be effective, it's not going to be walking in the middle of a circle all your life. Because you try to exercise faith in the middle of a circumstance with strong men that's governed those areas of your life for 20, 30 years, and you're trying to break out of that, you're going to have a very, very hard time doing that in this jurisdiction. Because he owns this jurisdiction. He owns the circumstance he's bringing to you. He owns that part, see. You got to break out of that place. You got to move out of that circumstance. And this is what the Lord was teaching us. Enter into where I am. Enter into me. Enter into the living door. Then go to where I am by faith. Go to the finish line. Go to point B. Go to the promise and start practicing the awareness of that promise. We taught you how to do that. Well, I started doing that because the Lord gave us a mandate. And that mandate was, don't try to build a church yourself, but believe me to build it. Unless the Lord builds a house, you're laboring in vain. Believe me to build it. And he gave me a mandate to believe him for 500 disciples. Now to some person, 500 disciples is nothing. It's not about the book of Numbers. It's about the exercising of inheritance and faith. What is the finished work? What is the finished work? When Jesus in Daniel 7, Daniel saw the Lord ascend before the Ancient of Days, and it said it was given him a dominion and a kingdom and peoples and nations. God the Father gave it to him. He said, I will set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. You are my son, speaking of Christ. I'm gonna anoint you as king. He said, now ask of me the nations as your inheritance. He already did that. He already inherited the nations. The inheritance of all the nations, the lost, he's already inherited them. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to get unleashed when we move into position of faith. He's given his Holy Spirit to enforce the inheritance. He did not want us to go to the world in our own sufficiency. He wanted us to go to the world by faith. He says, stand here with me. You have to understand, when this word was given, it was not a dead word. It says, my words are spirit and they're life to those who find them. You got to find your promise. You got to go where he is in that promise. You got to sit down in that promise. And you got to dream in that promise. You got to close your eyes and become aware that you're living in a living promise. When I pull into the parking lot, I don't see empty parking. Even though I see it. In fact, I don't see it in truth. In truth, I'm aware that the whole parking lot's full. I'm aware that foyer is filled with people. I'm aware that there is not an empty seat in this building. Now, I see empty seats. That's because you're over there and I'm over here. And Paul Yonggi Cho, he had a whole bunch of chairs lined up. It was just his wife and his daughter, right? His mother-in-law, and she was powerful, man. She was a powerful intercessor. And his wife and mother-in-law, right? There's three of them. And he was preaching whoo, like this, and they stopped him and said, Paul, it's just us two. He goes, no. I see thousands of people. I don't see this, you two. Every one of these chairs in this place are filled. I see glory. Paul Yonggi Cho perfected the art of being aware of God. And God this day built an 800,000 member church in Seoul, Korea. Nobody's touched that place. You think he did that with church programs? You think he did that? Somebody wear yourself out doing all that. He did it by faith because he unlocked. He called it the fourth dimension. He unlocked the Holy Spirit's capacity to take the nations and draw them in. See, God works with you. He's going to work with your faith. The enemy's going to work with your unbelief. As a man thinketh and believeth in his heart, so is he. He's working with what's going on inside of you. If you're still living in yesterday's turmoil, somebody hurt you and wounded you, and you ain't got over it, you're locked down, you will never get over there. You gotta loose and go. Don't ever allow somebody to control your destiny. Life is not fair. The enemy is vicious. He doesn't play fair. But God is full of inheritance. And he said, now come over here and be aware. Say, be aware. Started practicing the awareness. I started moving in the spirit. I wasn't in my mind. I was in the spirit. My words are spirit. And I was sitting in a promise of where he said you are. And I started seeing this, and I started the awareness in the presence of the Lord. I was aware of the glory and the creative power of God, the miracles. Can you see it? If you just tap into it, you'll see it. See, people are locking into that already, see. Now, with that position, I was in, another position. There's a difference. Understand this. I'm thankful God gave me the first major battles to know the difference, because I know a reason a lot of people struggle is they're trying to exercise faith in point A and you're getting it handed to you because you can't get out of the circumstance. You can't breathe. The enemy's smothering you there. He's constantly wrapping circumstances around your mind. You're going to have to launch out of that into a living promise. When you do, you're not aware of the circumstance anymore. You're not aware of what you're seeing. You're not discouraged when you walk in and see things that don't line up, because you're not looking at this place. You're looking at the next place. Your whole life changes. You have joy when you shouldn't have joy. You got peace when you shouldn't have peace. You're thanking God when you should be murmuring. Normally you'd be murmuring, complaining, said, oh God, why do you do this? Don't you have any idea what I'm doing for you here? And this is what I get after 18 years of service. And you think that you're getting somewhere with God like that. That does not please him, because you're not where he is. You're where you are. You're where the enemy is. And you're giving words to what the enemy has put in you. And you're going to have to get the realization that God is going to have you walk by faith. You got to learn to do it. And when you get connected the way God wants you connect, things are going to break open. Things are going to happen for you. And all of a sudden it's happening for you, and somebody's going to look at you, why is it happening for you and not me? I pray 20 hours. I can do now in 1 hour what I used to do in 500 hours of prayer, because I've learned effectiveness. I've learned the keys of how it works. You have to be willing to learn a new way. If your way's not working, lay it down and find the one that does work. I didn't like it the way I was trained over here. I'm gonna go up on the high mountain and we're going to go and bind the strong man. And then after you bind the strong man and your Sears bill has been whipping you for 3 years, and you're binding the strong man over a city, nothing's changed. You're just coming back, and next year you do it all over again. Then you get into dates. Well, you know, the feasts are coming. We all know breakthrough comes by the feast. Breakthrough comes by the Lord Jesus Christ that's already inherited your breakthrough. Breakthrough comes the day you meet the Father's condition of faith, not because someday shows around. He's already finished the work. Amen? Then he started introducing something else. He said something to me that changed my life forever. What got me into the awareness, when I was trying to learn to see, he said, you've already been doing this and you don't know it. He said, I was teaching you how to do this when you're entering into the tabernacle, when you're entering into the throne of grace. Remember how many times we've, over the last 3 or 4 years, laid up here on Tuesday mornings, gone in. Now become aware you're in the tabernacle. Be aware you're in the temple. We were practicing awareness. He said, just practice the same awareness in your promise, because you're practicing a position defined by my word. That I hide you in my tabernacle, I hide you under the covert of my wings, I hide you in the secret place of the Most High God, I surround you. He said, now practice that with your promise. Because your promise has been predefined by a word from God. So enter into the word of promise and practice the awareness, and it'll start coming alive. When you do that, the greatest thing ever is you're going to get out of point A circumstance. And if you live in point A circumstance, broken down, you will be broken down next year and the year after that. Nobody has a fix for that because you're in the wrong position. You've got to get out of that position. That's why God made you a joint heir with Christ. The capacity to move out of circumstantial battles into a living place. Isn't that glorious? It's really glorious when you start doing it, when you start hearing people up in here that are doing it. You hear faith has a voice. And those that are tuned into faith, you hear it in their voice. Those that are not, you hear that in their voice. When you get in faith, you hear everything, good and bad. I know when someone's in faith, I know because I've tuned into that voice. And when they're not, oh, I know that too. I feel when I hear people because I know how they're trapped because they haven't learned the ways of faith yet. And your mouth will tell the story. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. If you're point A, the abundance of that circumstance is going to come out of your mouth. If you're point B, still living in point A, but your faith has already moved to point B, the abundance of this reality of truth is going to come out of your mouth. That means you're going to be full of joy when you're not supposed to be. You're going to be full of strength when you're not supposed to. You're going to be full of vision when you're supposed to be grumbling and complaining. You are somewhere else. Amen? Give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Now the Lord said, I need you to do something. I heard him say it. He said, speak. Say, speak from the finished position. I said, what? Speak from the finished work. And all of a sudden, I just immediately knew what he was saying. He began to differentiate what I was doing before and what we're doing now. He said, you remember how you spoke to the mountains for 11 months, 3 hours a day? You remember how much hard work that was? I said, yes. He goes, because you were speaking in the midst of the enemy's camp. You were in his atmosphere constantly. Your faith ended up triumphing, but it took a long, tedious journey. He goes, I really didn't design you that way. He said, I designed you to enter into me, go into the promise, be immersed into the promise, baptized into the promise, dwell in the promise, abide in the promise, be aware of the promise until the atmosphere of the promise gets around you where there's no more, listen to this, unbelief, where there's no more doubt. And there's no more circumstance. And there's nothing going on inside of you. Now speak where you are. Decree a thing and it will be established. Decree the 500. Decree the anointing of increase in divine multiplication. Decree the inheritance of souls and the inheritance of disciples filling the house. Decree the finished work. Decree from the position. And all of a sudden this revelation hit. Go to Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 22. Have faith, what? In God. Not in circumstances, not in the reports of man. Have faith in God. Do it God's way. It's going to work for you. Stop whatever you do judging anybody who's walking by faith. If you judge somebody that's walking in faith, you're going to disqualify your own faith. The best thing you can do is just hold it back. Don't worry about them. That's between them and God. If you don't like what's going on, but don't judge them. Because they might know something that you don't know. There's probably a good possibility they know something you don't know. Because they're getting fruit hanging off of their limbs. Amen? Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Look at this. Shall not doubt where? In the heart, listen to this, but believe those things which he or she saith. You got to believe what you say. And I saw it. And then I saw it again. And the Lord said, it's very hard for you to believe what you're saying when you're surrounded by circumstance in point A because you're speaking. You're more trying to talk yourself into being a mighty person of faith, but you really don't believe it because the circumstance is pervading your life because you haven't been able to get your heart out of it. And because of that, it's going to take you a long time to come to the place where you actually believe what you say. Because your circumstance has gotten inside of you. But when you enter in and you move to the promise and you practice awareness, because everyone knowing when you're starting to practice awareness, this word is spirit. This word is life. To those who find them, when you're practicing the awareness, all of a sudden you forget what that realm looked like over there because you're living in this one. You're living in glory. You're living in victory. You're living in the presence of the Lord. You're living there. And now, he said, now speak out of that finished position because there's no doubt. There's no unbelief because you're already where I am. Your heart has been brought to where I am. I've already flushed out the circumstance of point A. Now I've got you at point B. He said, now speak to the mountain and believe what you say, because you're already in agreement with this position, because you've already entered into this position in heart. You've entered into this position. Do you understand? By awareness, you've already brought in your full agreement with this position. I'm living in the promise here. Now I can speak from that position, decree the manifestation, and I can believe what I say. You're going to have a whole lot easier time believing what you say in point B than believing what you say in point A. Does that make sense? Okay, go to Mark 4. Mark 4. Now, you know Mark 4 is where we've been in since 11 effect. These are the mysteries of the kingdom unto you, given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the word of God. Mysteries of the 11, kingdom of God's like 11. All of this was Mark 4, Matthew 13, Luke 8. He sat there and taught all this. He taught the whole revelation of what we've been in now. He just got through teaching him. He says, now, as a visual demonstration of whatever I taught you, let's all get in the boat. So we'll pick it up at the boat. All right, verse 33. And with many such parables spake the word unto them, and they were able to hear it. Say, I'm able to hear it. I'm able to operate in it. I am a son. I am an heir of God, and I'm going to operate like him. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side. Now, truth just spoke. That wasn't just a man speaking. That was truth speaking. Let us go to point B. Let us go to point B. As soon as truth said it, he said, we are going to point B. As soon as truth spoke that, truth was sitting in point B. It mattered not to truth what happens in the journey, because truth was there on the other side. He was looking at the demonic of Gadarene. He was looking at the fact that that man was going to get delivered. He was going to send him into Decapolis, and he was going to preach the testimony to 10 different cities of what Lord had done, because everybody knew that demonically possessed man. God was going to set him free. He was going to set that whole region free. He was looking at all that. He was there because truth had already ordered, let's go to the other side. Decapolis was 10 cities. He said, go to Decapolis and tell all that the Lord's done for you. Go be my witness. See, truth had already ordered the position. Now, what happens? When truth speaks, the enemy shows up. Now, I want you to see where you've been and where the Lord is. I want you to know the difference between his mighty disciples and where he was, because they were in the same boat, probably 15, 20-foot boat. Maybe 25-foot boat, but they were in two very distinct different positions altogether. This is going to make or break who you are, depending on where you are. You can write this down. Faith is a position. Well, faith is an action. It absolutely is an action, but it's a position first. Now watch this. Let us go to the other side. Truth is spoken. Point B has been established. The compass has been set. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. What does that mean? I happen to believe he was so in the spirit of God, having ministered to all those multitudes. They brought him in there. He was probably just delirious in the Father in a good way. They laid him in the ship even as he was. You ever seen anybody get in the spirit? You don't think the Lord was in the spirit? You ever get in the spirit and you try to walk out of here? He said, let's go inside. And what, a great storm arose. Pastor, I started doing this stuff you told me about, and you can't believe all the stuff that's broken out. Oh, I can believe it. A great storm arose to resist their position. that truth already established. Because the disciples were novices, they got caught up in the middle of the storm. Because the Lord was not a novice, he was already sleeping, probably already inhabiting the next level. The storm itself crashing into the boat didn't even bother him. They awakened him. Master, Master, do you not care that we perish? That storm, not only were the disciples not in point B, the storm had got inside of them. Got in their boat, but was inside of them. They were full of fear, full of anxiety, afraid. They were novices concerning how faith worked. But he just taught them the whole thing, by the way. Taught them the whole mystery of the kingdom. Put them in the boat to see if they heard what he was saying, and they didn't hear a word he said. That generally happens. That's why you are to listen to this more than one time. Don't think because you're hearing awesome messages, you're going to walk out the door and life's going to go well for you immediately. Life's going to go well for you when you get into point B. It's going to go really well when you overcome the thing that's been firing at you for the last 20 years. You think God's going to supernaturally move him, and God is waiting for you to rise up in faith and move that mountain. Move the strong men out of your mountain. Get off! Get off! Get off of my mountain! Get off! Get off of my mountain! They're bred for us this day. Just like the children of Israel. 10 of them, the circumstance got inside them. We're like grasshoppers. Oh, we're like grasshoppers. 2 of them said, look, they're bred for us this day. We're well able to take this land. Because 1, 2 of them were in position, 10 of them were not. Your life is about position. Your breakthrough is about position. It's not how much knowledge you have, it's your position. They awakened Jesus, and the Lord showed me something. He immediately arose and he rebuked the storm. Turned around to them and said, how is it that you have no faith? No faith. Say no faith. None. Did you not hear what I said? Did you not give heed? And the Lord immediately awakened to me what happened. He said, the reason I could speak to that storm, you've heard all the people speak to the storms. He goes, I was not in that storm. I was where I said we were going. I was at point B. I was on the other side, looking all the way to the Gadarene, the demonic. I was looking at him preaching to the 10 cities of the Decapolis. I was seeing all the souls he's going to bring to the Father. I was looking at setting that man free. I was there. I was already at the next level, and they had me come back. But I came back from another realm. I wasn't in the realm they were in. I was in the realm I was in. And when you come back from the other realm, you can speak to that storm. Because you're not in the middle of it. When he spoke, that storm bowed down. The Lord said, that's how you're going to speak to the mountains. You got to get in front of your mountains in order to speak to them. You can't be under the weight of your mountain and think you're going to win that battle. You got to get out. Get in. Come back and speak. Because when I get over here and I'm being baptized in the promise and I'm in awareness of the promise and I'm in the living word, when I come out, I'm clothed. I'm clothed in another realm. I'm clothed and I'm baptized in victory. And I'm going to come right back over here to point A and say, let me tell you how things are going to work from here on out. I'm not trying to talk myself into point A anymore. I am decreeing you are coming there. And everything in here is going to bow down to where I am because I'm with him. I'm where he is. Do you get it? That's going to make you a champion in faith. That's going to move your mountains. That's going to break. I believe the Lord said, I am going to start breaking 20, 30-year-old strongholds in my people, and they're going to rise right out of it. They're going to rise out of the midst of things that have tried to hold them back, bind them, struggles. They didn't know how to get out. We are going to be mountain moving, devil stomping machine. There is victory in this house because faith doesn't live in the past. It lives where the Lord is. And you have that capacity to dwell in a living promise. No telling what the Lord's going to do. Because as soon as you get to point B, you're already being baptized here. And you're looking over to something else. And your circumstance hasn't even changed yet. But you're starting to look at the next one. Hey, look at that one. Come catch up. I'm running now. You're already running to the next one. Because that's the way faith works. It removes the things that bind. Let's all stand and give him glory. Hallelujah! Come on, Carlos.
Just here lately, when I would read in John, or when it would come to my heart, John chapter 10, verse 9, and Jesus was telling the disciples, and he says, I'm the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. And I've heard Pastor Bruce preach on that. But when I would ponder in my heart, I was like, why would you want to come out? You go in into him. Why would you want to come out? And right now, I was like, wow, you come in, but you got to come out because the authority is here on the earth and you need to, circumstances need to bow down. So you go in, but then you come out and speak to circumstances here.
Wow.
Man, that was good. Wow. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. That's true. You got to get back in this arena and decree and operate in dominion you got in that one. Amen.